You know with me, joy is joy to the world. Always has been, always will be. Whatever they sing, when I'm listening and here, they're singing joy to the world. They use a lot of different words and a lot of different melodies, but every time they're singing, I'm hearing joy to the world. The Lord has come, let earth receive her King. Because I think joy is literally the characteristic emotion about Christmas. It seems for too many people that Christmas can become a heavy time because we expect to be joyful, and then when it doesn't just happen, you know, it kind of depresses the season. It kind of lowers the expectations. It kind of changes. You may still have joy, but it's kind of the edges off of it. My theme this morning is I choose joy. I don't think you and I are the servants of our feelings. We have feelings, I'm glad. I don't want to be without feelings. And I want the whole gamut of freedom, of feelings. But at Christmas time, I think, is a lifestyle. But at Christmas time particularly, if you are not throughout the year, if you are not choosing joy, then Christmas is the time to be reminded that is the central thing about the Christmas story. It is about joy. The Bible talks about that kind of joy as being inexpressible, unspeakable, it's called in Scripture. It's not just a happy feeling. See, joy and happiness are close cousins, but they're not twins. Happiness, the very word, relates to the word happenstance, or just the simple word happen. When you say that just happened, you mean it probably wasn't purposeful, it wasn't planned, it wasn't expected, it just happened. That's what happiness is. That's why happiness is so elusive for us. It's why it's hard when you don't feel happy to get happy, because you don't know how to make yourself happy. You get it? Okay, I'm not going any further unless you do. Happiness and joy are not, I'm not even sure if they're related. Happiness is feelings. Joy is feelings because of a settled understanding of what God purposes, plans, and provides for your life and for mine. Now, you got an opportunity. There's happiness. You can wait till something wonderful happens, and when it happens, you jump on there and ride it as long as it'll go, and when it drops off, you go back to right where you were before, because happiness always has to be redone. It's like happiness has a measure to it, that it has limits, it has time frames, it has volume, dimensions. Happiness is according to what is happening at the moment or recently enough that you still have the after feelings of the emotions of it. Joy is resident. Joy is permanent. Joy is eternal. But you have to choose joy. You have to choose joy. You can have something that happens, and you can make up your mind, wait till I feel happy about that. Or you can simply make up your mind to say, God gives me joy. Where's joy come from? The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, is joy. At the beginning of that list, it's joy. The fruit of the Spirit, if you want to choose joy, you have to release the Holy Spirit who is resident in you. You can't wait till you feel joy. Well, you can, but you're going to wait a long time and you're not going to feel it very much and you're not going to feel it very long. Because if something comes from feelings, something leaves with feelings, or lack of feelings. So Christmas time is an ideal time. It's not the only time. It's not wait till Christmas. If you're waiting for December to give you joy, you will have more problems in November and December and January than you can imagine. Because the devil fights the gifts of the Spirit in you. He doesn't want you and I to have joy. He doesn't even want you to be happy. That's why all the hell that happens around you and sometimes about you. Because he has no delight in yours and my finding happiness. But Jesus has every delight that he gave his Holy Spirit, sent his Holy Spirit to us, that the fruit of his life in us, to the degree that you walk, live, think, dwell, rejoice in the nearness of God to you, that you are mindful of the gifts of God that are poured out in your life every single day, from small things to large things, to things that you notice and things that you didn't notice until afterwards, from things that you expected that he provides and things that you didn't expect at all and he surprises you with. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, on and on. I kind of don't like the long-suffering thing. That's why I choose joy. I'm going to start with love, joy, and peace. Why is that the fruit of the Spirit? Why is love, joy, and peace right there at the top of it? Because those are absolutely essential things, not only for your survival, but for your enjoyment of the life that Jesus Christ came to give you. What did he say? I came to bring you life, and that life more abundantly. What is abundant? It's abounding. It's plenty. It's more than enough. It's larger than your capacity. The Holy Spirit, it's already, he has already been given, and to us. So how do you choose joy? Well, first is the joy of salvation. You're not going to experience real joy, not enduring, lasting, ever-present joy, if Jesus is not first in your life. If you don't know Jesus, you don't know joy. You know happiness. You may be having a lark. You may be going along successfully. Everything may be look like it's fitting together. But at some point, you're going to have a collision. And you'll wonder where all that happiness went to. Happiness is not what is found in Jesus. Joy is what is found in Jesus. The problem, I think, is we have seen too much to retain the wonder of the Christmas season. See, Christmas doesn't bring joy, but joy is an effect when you really get into understanding what Christmas really is. Not the holiday thing. Christmas is the birth of Jesus. Christmas is when God unthinkably, he did an unthinkable thing. God became flesh. So that's the incarnation. God became flesh in his son Jesus Christ. And he came into our world. He came here. Why did he come here into your world? My world. He came here to take my place. He came here to walk with me. He came here to live inside of me. In his incarnation, he could not do that. The crowds all wanted to touch him, but everybody couldn't touch him because he was limited to this corporal body. But no more. When the angel said to those disciples who were standing there when Jesus was received back to heaven, those angels said, "Why do you stand here looking up into the heavens? For he that has gone away, he will come again." Now, in the meantime, between the incarnate Son of God walking on this earth and the time when he comes back, not as the Savior, but as the Lord of all, in that time, he gives us the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gives us all that Jesus longs for us to have. In a lot of churches, if you start talking about the Holy Spirit, it kind of scares them. If you really want to scare them, talk about the Holy Ghost. I think we've kind of fine-tuned that over the last number of years. Growing up, for me, it was always the Holy Ghost. Sometime along the charismatic renewal, it became the Holy Spirit because the Presbyterians and Baptists and Methodists decided, and the Catholics decided, it sounds better. And it does. I don't care if you call him the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. I know that he's a member of the Trinity. I know that he's a member of the Godhead. I know that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But joy is resident. It's one of the gifts that he has been given by the Father and the Son that is invested in his ability to give those gifts of the Spirit to those people who will ask. See, we think that all of this that God has will just happen to us. Well, that would make us happy because it just happened to us. But you receive from God, now that there's small exceptions, but the norm is you receive from God a lot of things, but usually it's the effect of what you ask for. Not maybe not specifically, but that you ask the Father to provide for you. You know, he knows what you need before you realize that you needed it. You believe that? Well, you're quiet. He knows before I realize what my need is and can ask him for it. He already knows. And if I'm walking in communion with the Holy Spirit and I choose joy, then I don't have to work it up. I don't have to get into a frantic thing. I don't have to make the music louder and faster in order to get the feelings of that's happiness. Joy is when your heart begins to sing. Joy is when you choose to get involved in the worship. Happiness is when you're feeling good because you're hearing them and they're obviously enjoying what they're doing and doing it well, and you just kind of ride along with them. But when the music stops, the feelings go back to norm unless you choose joy. Unless you're depending not upon your own emotions or feelings, but you're depending on the Holy Spirit. You're depending on God the Father and God the Son, but crying out to the Holy Spirit, when, "Lord, you know what I need. I know that I need, but I think I know that I exactly what I need, but I don't always know that." Have you ever tried to feed somebody that said, "I'm hungry," but they didn't know what they were hungry for? My mom, My mom, when she was living and lived next door to us, if I walked over the house, she always wanted to feed me. Didn't matter what time of day or night it was. I kind of started playing a game with her, and that was I would try to decide something that I don't think she had, and I'd want that. Maybe why when she went to the grocery store, she needed a truck. Because she wasn't going to be caught without whatever it was I wanted. Yes, I'm spoiled. Gail has cured a lot of that, but I'm spoiled. But do you know what you want? Because if you know what you want, and usually what we want is either what we lack or what we don't have enough of. That be true? If you've never had something, and it's a long time since you did have it, you almost forget that you wanted it, don't you? I think it's that way of expectations. If you have certain expectations and they never get met, after a while you change your expectations, or you just don't have any more. You just release all expectations. Is that true for you? I mean, I'm just smart enough to not keep hitting my head on a locked door. If you knock and nobody answers, banging your head against it for 2 days is not going to accomplish anything, except you're going to have a headache for the next 3 months. But you can choose what God's Word says He desires to give you, the good gifts. He said, I'm not sure I can even quote it correctly at the moment. He said, our God, if you ask for bread, He wouldn't give you a serpent. If you ask for good things, He's not going to give you bad things. But He says, ask and keep on asking. He says, trust and keep on trusting. He says, believe and keep on believing. Not because you have to coax it out of God. It is not about getting God in the mood to give you what you need. It's you learning what you need rather than what you want. Are you with me? You tracking with me so far? Okay. So it isn't getting God in the mood to meet your needs. God wants to meet your needs. God loves to meet your needs, just like my mom wanted to feed me. And she wanted to feed me what I really wanted. She didn't just say, hey, you eat that. If you don't eat that, you don't get anything. My mom couldn't have said that for the world. In fact, if she did prepare and I said this, at a meal at her house, if I wasn't eating quickly, she thought I must need something she didn't fix. And she immediately started saying, could I make you also such? Could I do this? Could I get that? She just always wanted to meet my needs. What a mom. I never took advantage of that. I at least regarded my mom highly enough to not take advantage of that. But she wouldn't have cared. I want you to know, don't hold back. Because when you see what you need from God, don't let anything convince you that you don't deserve it. Because you don't. That's truth. It's not about what. If you got what you deserved, you'd be in hell already. You wouldn't be sitting here. The earth would open and swallow you. It's not about. God wants to meet your needs. God desires to meet your needs. God loves to meet your needs. My mom wasn't doing that because I was hard to please. It was just her nature. If she had something and you needed or wanted something, even wanted, she desired for you to have it. My mom was a very minimal picture of my God. Imagine if in this life people want to see you enjoy. Imagine how much more God desires to see you have more. But it starts with not having more things. It begins with wanting more of God. When was the last time you asked something more specifically from God? I'm not talking about, you know, like kids thinking up what they'd like to have for Christmas, but never get around to actually deciding on precisely what it was. And if you took them in a store and showed them something else, they would have already forgotten what the other was, because they take whatever's immediately available. I think we still do that when we're adults, if we're not careful. Joy does not happen to you in a surprise. Now, it may seem like a surprise sometimes, because you didn't realize before that moment the wonder of what was being given to you all the time, or what was available to you all the time. I don't find it hard to think about a good God, because I had a good experience in my home, because I had a mom and a dad who were gracious and generous. They weren't fawning and extravagant, that wasn't the point, but whatever they could do, they wanted to do for their family and for their friends. I was fortunate that God brought into my life a lady like that. She just wants other people to have what they need. I've had friends like that. I don't think I'm naturally a generous person. I think I'm generous in some ways, but I think I've learned generosity. I don't think it's natural to me. I'm a little bit of a person kind of keeping it close and tight. I don't think I'm selfish. I don't want to be. I try not to be that. But I don't think I'm naturally generous until I learned from my family then and now, until I learned from the people I've had the joy to pastor here and two other places. I think I've learned that. And I've learned it because the more I get to know about God and His Word. You see, this book is God telling you who He is. It's telling you what He desires for you. He's telling you the sacrifice He was willing to make so that you would be qualified to receive it. Because you and I, if you want to talk about what we deserve, there's a place prepared for that. But God doesn't believe that's what we deserve, because He didn't create us for that. He did not make man to spend eternity in a hell. He made man to spend an eternity in heaven with Himself. You and I were destined for heaven. When you came forth from your mother, you were given a destiny to spend eternity in a place that you and I cannot even imagine in the best of our moments. I would like to tell you about heaven, but my words would fail me to do that. I haven't seen it. I've read about it. I can't quite imagine it. I can believe it, but but I can't describe it. Because heaven is not like anything we've experienced here in this lifetime. It is more glorious. It is more wonderful. It is more peaceful. It is more joyful. In heaven, you won't have to choose joy. Joy will be the rule of the realm. Bible said there'll be no more sickness there. There'll be no more sorrow there. There'll be no more dying there. All of the things that steal our joy, all the things that tries to convince us that being happy is the best there is, even if it's just its short spurts along the way, that's not the way heaven is. There's no night in heaven. There's no darkness in heaven. There's no tears in heaven. There's no crying in heaven. There's no sickness in heaven. And there is no more dying in heaven. Hallelujah. Can you imagine if you took the things out of this lifetime that are the things that hurt, that are the things that disappoint, the things that are held, seem to be withheld, the good things that are withheld from you? I don't think they are. I just think we don't listen to this book enough to find out God's ways to gain what God's promises are. You choose joy. When I read the New Testament in particular, it is all about joy. When I read the Christmas stories from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it's all about joy. When people met Jesus, joy burst upon the moment. How badly do you really want to have a Christ-like joy? Did Jesus weep? Yes. He wept over people that wouldn't take what he wanted to give. He wept at gravesides. Not because he thought that was the last, because he knew the sorrow that the people around that individual, what they would feel. And he wanted them to feel the joy. He wanted them to know the celebration that happens when we step from this life into that life, that eternal life. When we breathe another breath and it's somehow eternal in us. When, however, we left this world, old and hurting or young and hopeful, when we step into the presence of God, there will be nothing but joy. It says he wipes away all our tears. He wipes away all of our tears. Heaven is a constant and eternal glorifying of God. Choirs, angels, the redeemed. Heaven is filled with what the Apostle Peter wrote as unspeakable joy and full of glory. We're not talking about a happy moment. I love happy moments. But I prefer constant joy-filled living. Have I accomplished that? No. I don't pretend to. But the more I read in God's word about joy, the more I hunger to know what joy really is. The moments I've experienced it in my lifetime, I savor. And the other kinds of moments, that savoring of the joy that God gives in Christ Jesus and that it waits for us in heaven, that is truly joy unspeakable and full of glory. Indescribable. Unexplainable. Impossible to be earned. And just because that's who God is. And just because that's what God wants to give. And just because that's what the fruit of the Spirit, who God wants to live and dwell inside of us here and now. It's joy. Lord, whet our appetites for real joy. The times of just absolutely unadulterated joy that we've experienced, the birth of a baby, the joy of a marriage, the joy in our wedding days, the many joys, some that come kind of surprisingly at the moment, they catch us by surprise, and those that come as an answer for the longing prayer pours out of our heart to God in our troubling moments, in our difficult circumstances. But when we see you, Jesus, face to face, we will know only joy. The joy of our salvation, the joy of your goodness, the joy that is overflowing. It never lacks. It never stops. It's abounding more than enough. Lord, I pray for that hunger for joy to be born in our hearts during this Christmas season. That you can give us the grace to set aside the stuff that encumbers us and distracts us and saddens us, wearies us. God, in its place, would you deposit your joy? We don't just want kind of that sort of joy. We want your joy. We want joy that comes from the Holy Spirit as your gift into our lives. That in spite of circumstances, in spite of what's happening, good, bad, or indifferent, there is a resident joy. And God, would you make us carriers of joy? We carry so many other things. God, would you make us carriers of joy into our homes and families, into the places where we work, into the lives of friends and acquaintances, in the moments of circumstance and opportunity. God, make us carriers of joy. I pray in your name and for your glory. Amen. Amen. Why don't you stand? I want you to close your eyes just as a privacy to others around you. Because I'm going to ask a question. It's a simple question. It really only needs a simple response. And that simple response is just, while eyes are closed, no one's looking around, this private moment between you and God. Do you need more joy in your life? Do you want more joy in your life? I want you to raise your hand. I want you to raise your hand. You're purposing, you're saying, God, I'm a candidate for the joy of the Lord. I want joy. Take away the stuff, the things, get them out of the way, and just pure joy that pours from heaven. floods my heart, heals my mind. It heals my emotions. God, you saw these hands, but more important, we could see their hands, but you saw their hearts. Lord, Lord, make us carriers of joy at this Christmas time and throughout the coming year. Let us be contagious with your joy, not apologetic, happy to share it. Lord, we want to be sharers of joy. We ask that in the name of Jesus and for his glory. Amen and amen. Amen.